This is Digital Story Podcast number 987, February 18th, 2025. Today's theme is Help Me Celebrate 1,000 Podcasts with Your TDS Moment. I'm Derek Story. On May 20th, 2025, I will air my 1,000th TDS podcast episode. Amazing. And I want you to help me celebrate, but we have to start working on it now. This week, I'll share the details of my TDS moment, plus talk about our upcoming iPhone and compact camera photography with mobile processing online workshop. All of that and more on this week's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. On Sunday night, NBC aired its 50th anniversary show for Saturday Night Live. It was an entertaining mashup of nostalgia, remixes, and current comedy and musical performances. I had been thinking about our upcoming celebration for 1,000 TDS podcasts. And I think a big component of that event should be centered on you, the listener, the community member, and photographic artist. Over the years, people have shared their TDS moments with me. Sometimes they were aha revelations, new gear discoveries, meeting a new friend at a workshop, or that perfect melding of podcast moment and an activity that will never be forgotten. Many of these great stories need to be shared and celebrated, and what better moment to do so than with our special podcast? So here's what I'm thinking. Over the next 2 months, let's record as many of those stories as we can. I will pack as many of them as possible into the celebration show. If there are more than I can include in that special episode, I will roll them out over the remainder of the 2025 segments on our regular podcasts. If you want to participate, here's how it's going to work. I've set up a meeting calendar for Friday appointments. If there's an open slot, you can sign up for it on that date. We will connect via Zoom, and I will record your TDS moment. All you have to do is share your anecdote. I'll handle the recording, and we'll clean up any missteps. Separately, I will ask you to send along a headshot and a short bio. Anytime that you want the link to the scheduling calendar, it will be in each week's show notes. If you have any questions, you can use the Contact Me link on the nimblephotographer.com. I think this is going to be a wonderful event in May, and I hope you can be a part of it. All right, so that was my official announcement to make sure that I got all the information in there. I'm totally jazzed about this. Think about it. Many of you have been following this podcast since the very early days. And this podcast, this community, has been part of your photographic experience for years. I mean, for years, 1,000 episodes. Oh my gosh. When you think about that there are 52 episodes in a year, well, you can do the math on that. That's a long time that we've been together. And I think for many of you, there's probably one or two moments. Maybe it's a show that really resonated with you. Maybe it's something that you learned in a show that changed your photography. Maybe it's something that led to something else that changed your photography or your life. Maybe it's just a super fond memory that you want to share with other members of our community. All of these things are just out there right now and they're untapped. So what I did, I set up an online calendar. It's a Calendly calendar. It's very easy to use, and the link will always be in the show notes. Every week that we're doing this, it will be down there in Virtual Camera Club News. This week, of course, it's in Virtual Camera Club News, and it's in the feature article. So there's no way that you can miss this. You click on that link, and it'll take you over to the calendar, and I'm setting aside time on Friday afternoons. Now, the calendar will be set up so that it will adjust for your time zone. So my times are in, you know, Pacific time, but they will be adjusted for wherever you happen to be. And there are 30-minute blocks there. So all you have to do is basically decide when you want to meet, and that will be starting on the 21st. This Friday we're starting, because we've got to get this done. And I've set up about 4 appointments per Friday, you know, so you should have a block to choose from. So I've got appointments on through February, March, April. I think it ends in April, because by April we should have everything we need. And I'm going to need time to pull this together, of course, for the May show. And I'll be working on it a bit as we go. But all you have to do is just find a time slot. You'll get a Zoom appointment once you go ahead and sign up. And then you'll get a reminder 24 hours before we're supposed to meet. And then what you have to do is very easy. It's just tell your story. Now, you want to have your story somewhat organized before we meet, right? And so some people might want to, you know, write a few notes out for it, or, you know, however you do that sort of thing. When I do the podcast, I write the show notes out. And the act of writing the show notes sort of commits the whole thing to memory for me. So unless I'm actually reading the show notes, which I do sometimes, it's pretty much all in my head after I write them out. But you want to prepare, and we don't want this to be too long, because I want to get as many of these in as possible. So an ideal story would be, you know, 3 or 4 minutes long. If it's a good story, obviously we can go longer than that, or if it needs to be longer than that. But I want to have many stories in this podcast. Now, I'm not going to limit the special edition podcast, the celebration podcast, to, you know, 30 some odd minutes like I normally do. It will be at least an hour, and it might go even a little bit longer than that. I want to have room for these stories from you. And then there's a couple other little things I want to do as well for our celebration podcast. So I'm excited about this. It's going to sound good, because I'm going to be running the control panel for the recordings. It's going to be easy for you, because you don't have to worry about any of that. All you have to do is make the appointment, have your notes organized. We'll get together on Zoom. I'll record it, and off to the races we go. I'm really looking forward. I cannot tell you how much I'm looking forward to hearing these stories and these anecdotes. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. And as I said in the opening blurb, if we have more than what I can use in the show, then I can make that a segment of the podcast for as long as we have these stories going. So we'll have our regular news, our regular feature segment, and then I can run one of these anecdotes as well. Really cool stuff. I'm very excited about it. I hope you participate. As I said, the link is in the show notes. Click on it, reserve a space, and let's get those stories recorded so that we can share them when we celebrate number 1,000 in May 2025. iPhone and compact camera photography with mobile processing online workshop beginning in March, coming up right around the corner. Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. We have done iPhone photography before, but now we're going to do iPhone photography. And for those that want it, we're going to bring in how to integrate it with a regular camera. We're going to bring in mobile processing techniques. And then, you know, you can kind of shape it any way you want based on all the information that I present. So we're going to help you craft a personal workflow. So maybe you just want to do iPhone photography, but you want to be better at mobile processing. I can help with that. Maybe you want to integrate your camera and your iPhone with mobile processing. I can help with that too. So this is going to be fun. I have lots of great information I'm going to share. and then help you craft a mobile workflow that works for your particular situation. Let me read you the official blurb here. And if you haven't signed up already, maybe you'll want to think about doing this because this is going to be a fun workshop that starts in March. Here we go. The iPhone, combined with a compact camera, is a powerful tandem for on-the-go photography. In this online workshop, we will explore how to pull together these devices to build a robust and enjoyable workflow. Or if you wish, how to get the most out of your iPhone as a sole camera. Examples of recommended gear include the iPhone 14, 15, and 16, USB-C iPads, compact cameras such as the Ricoh GR, the Fujifilm X100 series, Fujifilm XF10, and other modern pocketable devices. We'll also learn iOS photo software to turbocharge your workflow, add geotags, and publish. Examples, but not limited to, include Photomator, Lightroom Mobile, On One Mobile, RAW Power, and Photos for iOS. The online workshop via Zoom begins on Thursday, March 6, 2025, with both morning and afternoon sessions. So the morning session will be at 9 a.m. Pacific time. You adjust for your time zone. And the evening session will be at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Again, adjust for your particular location. We will convene weekly thereafter via Zoom for more training sessions, both a.m. and p.m., Q&A, and to compare notes. You can attend morning, evening, or both sessions if you want. It's essentially the same content, but with different participants. Plus, you will have access to our online workshop community, Derek Story Online. Here you can mingle with other workshop participants, past and present, share images for comment, exchange tips and techniques, and enjoy the fellowship of other creatives who share your passion for image making. You can sign up right now. I have a link in the show notes, or you can go to thenimblephotographer.com and click on workshops. By the way, Inner Circle members receive a 10% discount off the $165 tuition. I hope to see you there. Now, one of the questions that I've got from previous workshop members, you know, people who have done our iPhone workshop in the past or our mobile photography workshop in the past, is, you know, how can they participate? And this is pretty cool. This is one of the things that I like about building these communities on Derek Story Online. So we have an existing mobile photography community from previous workshops. All of them are being notified that new members are coming in and that this new workshop is going to be happening. So they are there. So when I post stuff online about assignments, or I'm answering questions, or you're sharing information or asking questions, this whole group, the previous workshop participants and the new workshop participants, are all together. So we have more people and more knowledge in this melting pot of mobile photography. So that part's really cool. Now, if you're an alum from a previous workshop, you will also have access to all the videos that I publish, because I always publish recordings of the live classes. So you'll have access to those as well if you're an alum. If you want to participate in the live sessions, if you want to be part of the active workshop beyond just watching the videos and participating online, then you have to sign up for the workshop to be an active participant. But if you just want to hang out online and interact with the other folks, you can do that as an alum. And that's true for all of the workshops that I do, the infrared workshop, the printing workshop. The alums always have access to the new information, the new movies, all that kind of stuff. And the only thing that really separates being a member of the active workshop and being an alum is, you know, whether you sign up for the current workshop or not. So I hope that's clear for all the alums, you know, who are thinking about, wow, maybe I should sign up, or should I just, you know, enjoy, you know, the activities that show up online. You'll be notified either way because the notifications go out to everyone, the active members and the alums both. Since I last did a mobile photography workshop, there have been a lot of improvements. Lightroom Mobile is better. Photomator is better. You know, the tools that we have to work with, you know, just seem so improved. The phones themselves are better. There's more things that we can do with them. It just goes on and on and on. Plus, you know, we are going to touch on things like video and maybe some of the areas, time-lapse photography, maybe some of the things that you haven't done that your phone can do that you've been curious about. So we're going to look at that sort of stuff too. And I'll be asking folks about, you know, what are you interested in? What do you want to learn? And we'll navigate those topics as we work through the workshop. So I think it's going to be super informative. I think it's going to be inspiring. And obviously, it's just going to be a lot of fun. And you get to hang out with other people who have shared interests. You know, one of the things about mobile photography and iPhone photography in particular is that sometimes some people will kind of say, well, that's not real photography, or, you know, they'll kind of, you know, say, well, where's your camera? You know, things like that. And I just think that's not appropriate. It really isn't. You know, all of these tools are useful in the hands of an enthusiast, in the hands of an artist. In this environment, for this workshop, there'll be none of that nonsense, right? Because everyone has signed on to liking mobile photography, using their iPhones, either with other cameras or not. You know, I mean, it's going to be the ultimate no judgment zone for mobile photography. And I just love that aspect of it. So anyway, it's only a few weeks away. You can sign up now. It's going to be a good time, and I hope to see you there. Speaking of iPhone photography, Leica made a $329 iPhone camera grip. And this is an article that's on The Verge, and I have a link to it in the show notes. You can read the whole thing, but I'm going to read a little bit of it now because this actually fascinates me. It does. Leica has announced a new iPhone accessory called the Leica Lux Grip, designed to make its iOS-only Leica Lux app feel more like shooting with its dedicated cameras. Now, I've talked about this app in past shows. I actually have it on my iPhone, and I like it a lot. It adds a DSLR-style grip to the iPhone and features customizable function buttons, a two-stage shutter button, and a control dial. It's available now for $329 in select Leica stores, the company's online store, and other specialist retailers. That's expensive when compared to other grip solutions that manage to include stabilization for less than half the price. But that might be more reasonable than you'd expect from a company that sells $23,000 platinum-plated film cameras and $500 pencil sets. The $500 pencil set is part of their anniversary celebration. By the way, for our celebration for 1,000 podcasts, there will be no $500 pencil sets. Just if you had your hopes up for that, sorry, we're not doing it. Anyway, back to the article. Made with aluminum housing that's finished in black, but without the iconic Leica red dot, the Lux Grip attaches to iPhones using MagSafe. It can be used with the phone vertically or horizontally and should be compatible with models dating back to the iPhone 12. The grip wirelessly connects to iPhones using Bluetooth, but to take full advantage of all its controls, it's designed to be used specifically with Leica's mobile photography app that simulates the look and aesthetics of the company's lenses and vintage photography gear. The app is free but requires a $6.99 per month or $69.99 annual subscription to use all of its features. To soften the blow of the Lux Grip's price tag, like it includes a free one-year subscription to the app when you purchase the Grip. Wow, this is almost reasonable price-wise, isn't it? Okay, let me just give you a few more details here. Like it says, the Lux Grip 300 mAh battery has enough power to take up to 1,000 shots and can be recharged over USB-C in about 2 hours. But unlike the Stage Power Grip that Belkin announced at CES 2025, which houses a beefier 10,000 mAh battery that can be charged and connected to the phone, Leica's Grip only powers itself. At $149.95, Belkin's Grip is also less than half the price of Leica's. And if spending $329 on an iPhone accessory doesn't leave your wallet feeling stung, Leica also sells a $60 leather case for the Lux Grip that includes a pocket for hiding an AirTag. All right, so that is the Leica Grip. Now, I don't know if you've looked at the pictures of it, but if you click on the link in the show notes for this article, you'll see some nice pictures of it. It does have a Leica logo on it, but it's not the red dot version of it. With the MagSafe attachment, it makes it really easy to use the Grip either vertically or horizontally, because the phone can just sort of rotate with the MagSafe. The Grip itself looks nice. The shutter button, I'm sure, is excellent. And then the integration with the Leica app, also getting full access to all of the benefits of the app, free one-year subscription, not free, right? You're paying for it, but you don't have to pay more for the subscription. I am truly fascinated by this. Now, I was thinking that maybe I could justify buying this for our upcoming mobile photography online workshop. It's a little bit of a stretch, that justification, but I don't know. We'll see. Those who come to the workshop will find out if I make the leap or not. Zeiss teases its long-awaited return to photography. And this is an article that's on petapixel.com. I have a link in the show notes. This is good news. This is very good news. Zeiss' dedicated photography Instagram account, Zeiss Camera Lenses, published an exciting new teaser suggesting the company is getting back into dedicated camera lenses after a lengthy hiatus. In June 2023, reports began floating around the web that Zeiss was wholly and officially leaving the photo industry, instead focusing on its other endeavors, including smartphone lenses and optical designs. Zeiss tepidly refuted these reports then, but that refusal did not amount to any new product announcements. About a month later, Zeiss spoke to Petapixel, saying that the company was not leaving the photo industry. Zeiss said its lenses were not discontinued, although admitted that its ZX-1 camera was a failure and there would be no successor to that. As of today, the company's most recent lens is the Zeiss Otis 100mm f1.4, which was released in 2019. That was long ago, so it's been challenging to entirely embrace the legendary German company's claimed commitment to the photo industry. However, with a new Instagram post spotted by Mirrorless Rumors, hope is restored. Zeiss appears poised to return to making new camera lenses. Like most teasers, Zeiss is short on details. However, it offers some basic info and opens the door for plenty of speculation. The post shows a photo of an owl, undoubtedly one of the 59 owl species belonging to the Otis genus. The image was captured with Zeiss' decade-old excellent 85mm f1.4 lens and comes with a pithy caption, "Get ready for some owlsome news." O-W-L-S-O-M-E. Owlsome. Unless the owl photo, owl pun, and use of the lens are all red herrings, there's little doubt that Zeiss will be announcing a new lens soon. They are renowned for their incredible image quality, earning acclaim from photographers and filmmakers alike. given the timing of the teaser, most likely time to announce the new lens will be at CP Plus in Japan, which starts in 2 weeks. Zeiss may not be bringing Godzilla-themed display to Yokohama, but it is looking like the beloved company is about to start a new chapter in its rich photographic history. This is cool. I have Zeiss lenses from the film days for my contacts cameras, and they are different, you know. And I don't say that they are better or worse than, you know, other lenses that I have, because I have some very nice lenses made by all sorts of different companies. But what I like about the Zeiss lenses is that for me, in terms of color and contrast, they are different, and they are notably sharp as well, which is, you know, always a nice thing to have in a lens. And I miss not having them available. I mean, I would love to see, you know, what they come up with. I would love to see if they're going to be producing lenses in the Z mount in particular for Nikon, and I'm sure they will be for Sony as well. And Canon, who knows, right? Because of Canon's licensing. So we'll just have to wait and see about all of that. But the fact that they are talking again, speaking up, and hopefully we will see some news from them before too long. Good news. We want to have Zeiss back. Their tradition and their craftsmanship is just absolutely excellent. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I want to shout out our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that, well, quite frankly, keep my life very interesting. Thank goodness for our Inner Circle members. Their pictures, their comments, their questions, their observations are fantastic. Their participation in our online and physical workshops. It is a joy to have a community that is just so much fun, and that is the definition of our Inner Circle members. They also help support the rest of this community, which we all appreciate. If you want to join in all the fun and help support this podcast that has survived almost 1,000 episodes now, then all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can nose around a bit there, sign up, and then before you know it, you will be receiving an invite from me for the Inner Circle space on Derek Story Online, and you can jump in with both feet. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this community. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. I was reading an article today about a new printer from Canon, a compact printer. I almost put it in the news, and I go, I don't know. I haven't, you know, I feel like I should maybe learn a little bit more about it first. But at any rate, this little printer, you can fit in your briefcase. It's like one of those, it has a lithium battery, and it prints really nice stuff and up to letter size, and designed mainly for business people, but also photographers. It does a nice job. It's got 3 color inks and 1 black ink. And whenever I see something cool like that, the first thought that comes to my brain is, what would Red River Paper say about this printer? You know, what are their thoughts on this thing? Should I buy it or should I not? So I'm probably going to contact them and get a little bit more information about them. My point being, having a resource like Red River Paper to bounce ideas off, to get their professional opinion, to talk to someone who really knows what they're talking about with inkjet printing, just goes beyond the great paper that they provide for all of us who use their products for our own personal artwork. If you're interested in learning more about Red River Paper and learning what they have to offer, all you have to do is click on the tile, the Red River Paper tile, that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can nose around a bit there, get some paper, and start printing. And if I learn something good about this printer that I think is worth sharing, I will share it with you, because here at the Digital Story, we love printing, and we love printing on Red River Paper. And a big thanks to them for supporting this community. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Lots more coming next week. Hope to be hearing your anecdotes soon. Until then, get out there, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.